Well, Pastor wasn't feeling well tonight. He had a fever, pretty high fever. So he called me this morning and asked me to take over the service for him. So I had a few hours, actually, probably maybe a half hour to think about what I wanted to talk about this morning with you this evening, actually. And he's not feeling well, but I heard his fever broke, so hopefully he'll be better soon. So we'll get him back up here so you won't have to hear me talk much longer than tonight, probably. So let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to talk about a few things tonight. Sometimes I think I'm long-winded, and other times I'm done in 10 minutes, so who knows how long we'll go tonight, but I'll try to go all the way until quarter till, then we'll have our prayer time. So we're looking at Romans chapter 12 tonight, and we'll read some verses here, and I want to challenge you to think about your service to one another, and your service to your friends, your family, to those that you see in the street, that you walk by every day. Those you work with, those that you go to school with. And we see in these verses in Romans chapter 12 many things that God encourages us to do. And so I entitle this, Members One of Another. We're encouraged to be of one body. We're of the body of Christ. Those that come together and we're believers, this is the church, this is us. It is, as Pastor would say, it's a living organism. It's hard to describe that. It's hard to look at that. But if you look at an animal, and I'll tend to go there quite often because I'm the biologist. If you think of an animal, it can't work without a heart necessarily, or some type of organ to move the blood throughout the body. And every animal you look at has some type of heart that makes that body, that makes that blood flow through the system. If it doesn't have a heart, it will cease to exist. And you can go on through the many vital organs, and you can look at those, and you're like, they're needed. They're absolutely needed. And God makes up the body kind of like that. We all have different uses. We all have different strengths and abilities. Mine might not be the gift of speech, or it might not be the gift of conversation, obviously, but I have a gift of serving. I like to do things for people, and I like to fix things. If something needs to be fixed, who can fix it? Someone that could serve by fixing. And there's other people that are good at praying for one another, building up one another, giving of gifts. And there's many things that I didn't write down on the list, but you know of those things. You've heard it preached in this pulpit before. And all those things build us together. We're a tight-knit group, like we're putting our hands together. And I might do an example tonight where we might try that. So we'll see. So in Romans chapter 12, let me read some verses, and we'll look at some of these verses together. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And being not conformed to this world, but being ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto you, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one to another. So whether we like it or not, whether we're best friends, whether we talk to each other as we go out the back of the church and shake each other's hand, and maybe that's the only thing we say to one another. I hope that's not it, but there may be a case. We are still together in the body of Christ. And we're told here, we're commanded here, in verses 4 and 5, that we are many. Many members. but in one body. And because of that, if we were many members, we have to work together. And all members have not the same office. Can everybody be a preacher? Well, then we'd have a bunch of preachers up here all saying the same thing all at one time, maybe, and there'd be no one out in the pews out there listening. What if everyone was one that wanted to help everybody, right, and do service, but there was no one to help? There's no one to go fix that radiator or go and help them with certain things. What if we're all servants, but no one to serve? So it would be kind of hard to do those things. Would we be able to fulfill our needs or fulfill what God wants us to do? So think about that for a moment. What are your gifts in this body? What are your strengths? Maybe you don't really know what those are yet. Maybe God's developing them through a process of time, through looking at the scriptures and learning and being taught over time and learning from your mistakes, hopefully, and He's shaping you into what you want to be. Did the President of the United States, not saying Obama, but maybe somebody else, if there was another president, did they grow up when they were 5 years old being ready to be the President of the United States? I hope you'd say no, of course not. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the training. They don't have the skills yet. But has God given them abilities? Yes. They haven't had seen those abilities. They haven't fine-tuned those abilities. He hasn't given them everything yet. And through a process of time, that song I always think about when we sing through with the kids, He's Still Working on Me, I think of that song quite often because He's definitely working on me. I hope that He's still working on you guys as well. No matter if you're 69 or 6 or 4, He's always working on us, isn't He? So we have to be joined together in one body. So we have a relationship with one another, even though it might be different. So let's look at verse 6 here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. And we're in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. And then it goes on to verses 7, or ministry, let us wait on your ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So each one of these things, you could see in this short list of, you see grace, you see prophecy, you see ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, showing mercy. And each one has a very small description. Why? Because we've seen many a times when someone that may be good at giving gifts is sure good at telling everybody they're giving gifts, aren't they? I gave this big check because I've got this big checkbook. And they pull it out and they write that check. It is at $1 million. Everybody hear that? $1 million. And they write the check and they put it in the offering plate. And you know that type. But this list gives us some instructions there. And we are to be humble. We are to be, even if we're a teacher, we still need to be teachable. We still need to be humble. We still need to be able to be taught. And this list is not all-inclusive, but there's many different things in here that we can learn about. But all these things could be one of your gifts. It could be one thing that God has for you to do. So together we can accomplish more than we can by ourselves. You ever see one of those one-man bands? Seems very confusing to me. So he's got the drum on his back, and he's got the trumpet in there, and it's got like some kind of holder for the trumpet, and he's trying to do the whole band, right? And can he fulfill the whole band by making a bunch of noise and beating a drum? And no, he can't. He can play portions of the music, but he is not a full band. He's not the full orchestra. When you have a choir, you have someone that sings the soprano part, the melody. You have someone that sings an alto line. You have someone that sings a tenor line, an alto line, and sometimes within all those parts, it's split into three or four more parts. So you can have 16 different parts singing all at one time, and it depends on the size of your choir and the abilities that they have. But it fulfills all the notes if you've got everyone. And you can have a great song or you can have a great melody with everyone singing. Just like that one-man band, for him to do it all by himself, he's not fulfilling every need. He's kind of making it happen or making you hear the tune, but not every note's coming out. Are we sometimes the one-man band? Sometimes I feel like I am. A number of things I do at work, for example. We've had some staff cuts at my work. I work for the state of Florida, and we're always cutting. We're always trying to find more efficient ways to do things. But it comes to a point where your efficiency starts to decline because now instead of doing two things really well, now you're doing five things not as well. And then they keep on adding more and more things. So I can understand efficiency. I can understand all that. But I do realize that you do need to make sure that you get help and give help. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Another few verses to look at. Ephesians chapter 4 in verses 24 and 25. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And here we see again the definition or the word phrase, we are members one of another. And we're encouraged in these verses to put away lying, because it will cause undue strife. If we are to trust one another, build up one another, strengthen one another, work with one another, if we're all lying to one another, are we going to trust each other? Are we going to want to help each other? It's going to be a lot harder to do those things. Satan wants to get in there in any way he can to get in there and separate us, doesn't he? You see it every day. I see it every day. Whether it be a communication breakdown. I do a lot of prescribed fires. And we have a crew, two crews, and they're all working. And they're doing a fire line over here. And they're lighting fire over here. And all of a sudden, too many people start talking on the radio. And everyone's like, oh, what? And then they can easily start doing the wrong thing because they got confused. The burn boss that was telling them what to do told them to go do this. That was crew one. But crew two heard the same thing, so crew two started doing it too because there was a miscommunication. Sometimes we have miscommunications. Maybe we don't always talk to one another. Maybe we do too many texting. Maybe we do too many phone calls. Easily you can have some miscommunication. Don't let that be a barrier to strengthening one another, working with one another. Being members one with another. We are to do our best trying to build each other up in the body. How about tearing each other down? You ever see that happen? You ever see someone try to tear somebody else down or an organization try to tear another organization down? We've got the best iPad, you know, that type of tablet unit, and they start fighting and feuding, and next thing you know, they start saying this unit's better than another, and that company will end up being not as good as the one. And I definitely seen those battles out there, and it gets really bad. Even in the political time right now, as we're hearing about the election coming up here in November, so you have the Republican Party and you have the Democratic Party, and what are they always saying? They're always saying the opposite of what the other one said. It's great to do this, and the other one says it's worse to do. It's the worst thing to do, and they go back and forth and they battle. And I say to myself, man, can there be that many people out there that are completely opposite of one another? And I'm like, yeah, there is. After I go to talk to some people at my work, I'll find that out rather quickly. There's a vegetarian, there's a vegan, and then there's a meat eater, and that's all they want to do is eat meat. And they're all in the same office, and they're all, what are they doing? They're all working towards a common goal. And that's just food, just talking about food. You can talk about fried chicken places. I have my preferences. Chick-fil-A, I'm all for Chick-fil-A. Maryland Fried Chicken, maybe Zaxby's. Maybe some of you like Zaxby's. Or it's that chicken sandwich at McDonald's. Whatever you like, we all have our dislikes. We all have our likes. But is that something that should tear us apart? No, it shouldn't. We should be strengthening one another and building each other up. Hey, you want to go to Chick-fil-A? Go ahead. Bring me back the fries I like there. I mean, I don't like the chicken sandwich, but give me the fries. The teenagers know that I go off on these tangents, and I come back, and eventually come back. So if I go too far, just stop me. So avoid anything that would sow discord among the brethren, and therefore affecting our fellowship, if it's all possible. And we are admonished, even with partaking of meats in the Bible, if it offends thy brother, you should abstain. Is it still right to take of that meat? Of course. But for building up the brother and for talking to them and ministering unto them, there might be a time where you need to refrain without offending. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Bad behavior spreads like a fire if we let it. And let's look at this. Verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceiveth or deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. We've heard those verses many of times, but we see it there on the last one right there: those that sow discord among the brethren. And sometimes that's not always known. Maybe it's done innocently. Maybe it's indirect. I believe this time right here, it's really talking to those that are out there to tear down one another. But it could easily be brought over to say, hey, even those that are causing trouble, maybe they don't even know it. Hopefully that's something that's brought to their attention and they can correct it rather quickly. But in verse 20 it says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. And that goes into a whole other aspect of things. But we are to be able to subdue or to have control over, to have dominion over our attitude, our behavior. We can't necessarily, in fact, we can't. We can influence other people's behavior, but we can't make other people do something. I've tried it. I'm going to use Luke as an example. So Luke, are you listening? Sometimes I say to Luke, I say, go do this. And he looks at me and he goes and does something else. And then so I have to go over there and make him do it. And so that was when he was 4. Of course, he doesn't do that now because he's 5 now. He just turned 5. But, boy, I think about me. I thought about that. I'm like, yes, that's so clear. You should do what I said. And then I'm at work and my boss tells me to do something. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. I'm older than he is. And yet I still have the same issue. Maybe a little bit more subdued, but I still have that sin nature. And we all do. Why would we want to listen to somebody else? Why do we want to listen to God's word? Why do we want to keep His commandments? Why do we want to read the Bible? Why do you know, these are things that are not always easy to do, are they? Not always easy to understand. There's many a scripture verses that I've brought before the teenagers and before you and other places, and I'm like, I have no understanding of that. I read it and I say, let's just skip that for now. I know it's important to know, but I can't tell you something about the Bible or that scripture verse that I don't even know what it is. But you know what? The great thing is, I know there's others in the congregation I could go to and ask them. My pastor, my retired pastor, and others and teachers, I can get that information. And I've seen it before where many of people are out there in the mission field and they're all by themselves. They are the leaders. They are the ones that are spreading the gospel. They're not there by themselves spiritually, though. Those that are praying for them, those such as us, we pray for them at night. We pray them for them at meals and lunchtime and all other times. We send support. We want to pray for our missionaries. They're not out there by themselves. But we need to strengthen one each other by building each other up. Let's go on to Romans chapter 12. Back to Romans 12, 16. Not only are we to understand that we are of the same body, but we are to live like it. We are also to be of the same mind. And when you think of the same mind, and this is illustrated in Romans chapter 12, verse 16. If you look at verse 16, it says, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be of the same mind one towards another." Now, that's pretty hard to do sometimes, especially with a group. Take the food example. Where does everybody want to go to dinner? You probably have in this group, I would say, 20 different opinions or 20 different suggestions. Fast food. Okay, we narrow it down a little bit. But just think of how different we are, even in some of the thoughts that we have, even though we're Christians, we're believers, we believe in this Bible, we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior, but yet we have so many differences amongst one another, even within the same family. If I ask Caleb something, and I ask Mickey something, you know, what is your favorite color? Mess up my example. How about your, what's your favorite song in the hymn book? I thought you were going to say it as well, because that's one of my favorites. Yeah. But if you said, do you like ketchup or mustard? Neither. Martina, I ask her, what do you want on your hot dog? She'll say ketchup. I say, I want mustard and relish. I'm still eating, we're both eating hot dogs, but you add a little bit extra on there, different things, different toppings. We have the same focus, the same goal, the mission of the church, spread the gospel, build one another up, strengthen one each other, spread the gospel, but yet, boy, don't we have different ways of going about it, or even different thoughts about how to do it? God gives us many instructions, but He doesn't tell us day to day, moment by moment, how to get His work done, does He? We have overall encompassing principles. Go into the world and preach the gospel. And it may be to the work group, it may be to the school, the classroom, the person at the Y, but our mission is the same. Even though we have different opinions, even though we have different likes and dislikes. And we see that here. We are commanded to have the same mind. Are we all going in the same direction? That's a good question to ask. So to be able to go in the same direction, you have to have the same mind. And to be able to illustrate it, if we were to go down here and hold hands together, and we could do it, but I'm, of course, always running out of time. Everyone that's up here always says they run out of time. But if I had 5 people, maybe even 10 people, and I said, hold hands, and I gave them a commandment. I said, go towards the window. Well, how many windows are in here? There's 6. And there's 3 on this side and 3 on this side, and there's 1 in the back. There would be yanking of hands. They would be pulling against each other. They'd be pulling to one side until eventually they'd all morph probably because they couldn't separate towards one area to get to the window. If I said to the door, I still wouldn't be that descriptive because there's 3 doors. Even if I told you to the front of the church, some people don't realize where the front of the church is. So is this the front of the church or is that the front of the church? 2 different directions, half the group may go that way and half the group's going that way. But if I said go to the altar, I'm sure that they'd all move right towards the front to the altar or to the piano or to the organ. It would be a little bit clearer direction. So are we all going together or is there friction, pulling of hands, a little bit of stress there? And is that okay? Is that okay? Hey, who hasn't learned from a mistake? Who hasn't learned from someone else? Yeah, I thought of it this way, and now that I've learned, now I look at it completely different than I did before. I still like mustard and relish on my hot dog, even though I've tried the ketchup. But that's not what we're talking about necessarily. We're talking about growing together in the gospel, growing together in faith. And it's a hard thing to describe to me. I try to learn from the scriptures. I learn as much as I can. There's some that's beyond my ability to understand, so I ask for help. And I ask for people to help me with it, and I try to learn from it. God's power is able to do so many things that we don't really think of sometimes. Just think of what it took for you to get here tonight. All the things that had to happen for you to get here to this church tonight, to the service, to pray with one another, to then go home, make it home safely, and then the whole process, what takes you to get here. I know many of you work long hours. I know many of you have many responsibilities, many children to take care of. And that's hard to get that all together. But you make it happen. All the steps happen so you can be here. God put in us whole process of things that are happening inside of us, and we have no understanding of that. Just the taking of food and breaking it down into its elements so that we can survive is amazing if you look at it. Evolutionists will describe a process, and this happens, this happens, this happens. Oh, yeah, okay. Now it's all clear. No. How did it get from this point to step 1 to step 2? How did that happen? What made it go from step 1 to step 2? You can say it's happening, but to describe how or why it's happening is another thing. And that happens thousands and thousands of times within our body every minute. And God takes care of that. He makes it all work. And that's amazing. Romans 15, verses 5 through 6. Let's turn there. Romans 15, verses 5 through 6. Now that the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but the verses that I see tonight speak of us speaking together as one group, one voice, one hand reaching out to the community, one hand reaching out to the brother, working together as a group. So are we of the same mind in this church body? Are we of the same mind of the fellowship of Christians in Orlando, of Florida, and then beyond that? It's a challenge for you tonight to look at what you're doing. Are you in the circle, as I described, in the middle of the room tonight, pulling one way to another? Everyone's going that way, and you're trying to go that way. Or you're trying to go that way, and another person's trying to go that way, or the group's trying to go that way. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? There's many of things that we try to encourage others, right? And they're just not going to listen. And you know what? God works through a process of time, but we've done what we've told to do. We are to tell them the truth and proclaim it. Yes, God will speak to them. Yes, He will. But we need to point our brother, help our brother, build up our brother, and say, look, what you're doing is wrong. Look what you're doing here. You need to work on this. So, build each other up. Strengthen one another. And being members one to another is my challenge for you tonight. And if you keep on looking at these other verses within Romans chapter 15, you can look at Romans chapter 15, verses 7 and on, and you see many different other things that are mentioned about us as a body. We are to receive one another, welcome each other, admit, let in, receive. We are to care for one another, share each other's burdens, and we do that during prayer group for sure. And I see that happening in our prayer chains and our text messages and other things, just as we mentioned tonight, prayer for our pastor as he gets better. And we are also to bear one another. And when I mean bear one another, forbear, deal with somebody. You know what I mean by that? Even though it may be difficult, you deal with it. Should you cast them out? No. You should help them. So that's where we're going to end tonight. So are you doing these things? Are you loving one another? You know, are we of one mind? Are we recognizing one another, building each other up, receiving, forbearing, some other things I mentioned? I challenge you to look at some of these verses in this chapter, in Romans chapter 15, and ask God if He has anything for you to do. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You for this time that we can talk about a very short portion of Your Scripture, a few verses here and there, talking about how we're to be of one mind as a church body. And Lord, You have the power to do that. We know that we cannot do it in ourselves to make ourselves work together. You're the one to be able to strengthen us and lift us up. You're the one that is the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank You for never leaving us or forsaking us. You never cast us out. We are never alone because we have our faithful God that's with us at all times. Lord, be with those that couldn't make it tonight, with our pastor and Tamara that's taking care of him, and many of others that are not with us, or those that are sick and unable to be here. Lord, build them up, Lord. And we ask all these things in Your name. Amen.